How do you do? Pretending is one way children experiment with life, trying on different roles and attitudes, but pretense can be a trap, as the woman in this story discovered. She became lost inside an image she made for herself, an image that led to guilt and shame. She found freedom and truth only when her heart and mind and life were unshackled. Lighting the darkness with true life stories that speak the truth in love. This is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. It's the new millennium, and many people wonder what the future holds. Homeless people don't wonder, though. They know the future holds hunger, cold, and hopelessness. And that's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night to shelter people living on the streets, to give them hope. Each night, more than 500 men, women, and children receive food, clothing, and a safe place to sleep, even medical and dental care if needed, and all without charge, thanks to the gifts of caring friends. Since 1877, the old lighthouse has been shining in the heart of Chicago, keeping some from suicide, others from starvation, offering all the gift of new life. And those who receive new life know what the future holds, and they go for it boldly to tell others, like the woman in this story. And now for broadcast around the earth, here's program number 2566 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
What are we doing here?
This is where I live, Robin. Come on in.
Cool. Turn the light so I can see.
I can see you. That's all that matters.
None of that now.
Why not? We're all alone.
No, I just don't want to, that's all.
But I love you, Robin.
No, Kevin, I'm not ready for that.
Come on, honey. Relax.
I said no, and I mean it.
The woman in our story was only 15 when she faced this moral dilemma. Not the first time, and not the last. If she had persisted in saying no, her story would have been different. But because she finally said yes, her life was changed forever. This is the true story of Robin Melvin right now on Unshackled.
I was the youngest of six children. We always went to church, and I memorized the Ten Commandments as a child. That was the extent of religion for me. My parents gave us love for nature through family outings, but when I became a teenager, their drinking and bitter arguments made me feel insecure. Dad retired from civil service at age 48 when I was in the seventh grade. My oldest sister was teaching at my school then, and she let me stay with her one night a week.
As soon as we finish the dishes, we can go to the laundromat, okay?
Fine.
How's Dad doing with retirement?
Okay. He keeps Mom up half the night discussing things. But he does all the talking. I cover my head with a pillow so I don't have to listen. I hate meal times when he's been drinking.
That last year in Vietnam changed him a lot.
Yeah, that and drinking.
Well, how's school?
Oh, sometimes I feel like I don't fit in. Not even with the other cheerleaders.
Now, don't let it get to you, Robin.
No, I try not to. I have a couple of boyfriends, though.
Well, that always helps.
Julaine, how old were you the first time you kissed a boy?
About 15, I think.
I was 11.
Why, you little hussy.
A bunch of us were in my friend's basement, and they were all kissing, so I did too. I didn't want to, and I didn't like it very much.
Well, then why did you do it?
Summers were great. I spent a lot of time helping a neighbor in her 70s who ran a campground. When I started my freshman year, I was still pretty naive. I was also insecure because of the tension at home. Afraid of what others would think, I just wasn't able to stand up for myself. So I followed my friends when it came to drinking and boys. Alcohol made me feel accepted and cool. At 15, I began to slide into promiscuity, dating older boys. Kevin was 22 and had been married.
Oh, don't go in yet.
I have to. It's almost 4 a.m.
I hope you have your key this time.
Yeah. I don't think Mom would believe me if I told her I was sleepwalking again.
You need to stand up to your parents, Robin, and tell them you're dating me.
That's easy for you to say. They think you're too old for me.
I treat you like a lady. Hey, you're the only person that's allowed to smoke in my car. Did you tell them that?
I don't tell them anything, Kevin. I just sneak out when they're asleep. And I'd better sneak back in before they wake up.
Hey, cut class on Monday, okay? We'll go somewhere fun.
I became an accomplished liar, making up wild stories to cover the times when I was caught. At 15, a girlfriend and I would go into bars and let men buy us drinks. But being used seemed to make me weaker instead of stronger. The summer of 1979, Craig, my oldest brother, was killed in a car accident. At the time, I was babysitting at my sister's house and had to break the news to her.
Oh, Robin, we were so close. I can't believe Craig's dead.
Oh, I couldn't believe it either when his wife called.
Well, why didn't she call my house? Why didn't she call Mom and Dad?
She tried. She said the line was busy.
Oh, they probably have the phone off the hook again.
Yeah, which means they're arguing again. Which means Dad is drinking again.
This'll break their hearts.
I don't want to go home and tell them about this.
We have to, though. We'd better go right now.
Why did this have to happen anyway? There was so much I didn't understand. Dad's anger and drinking, which got worse after my brother's death. My inability to say no to things that left me feeling ashamed and guilty. My grades went down along with my morals. Still, I maintained the pretense of being cool. I dabbled in drugs as well, but inside I felt horrible. Senior year, I began to hang around with Jeff, who made me laugh and made me feel at ease. Boy, you sure treat your mother well.
You mean you don't?
I mean, you're so affectionate. Kissing her goodbye like that? I've never seen a guy do that. Or a girl, for that matter. We sure don't do that at my house.
So, start a new trend.
Oh, you have no idea what you're saying.
Why not tell people you love them? Life is short, and you never know when it'll end.
You're right, Jeff. I never told my brother Craig I loved him. Where shall we go?
Let's go to the mall and see if we can make people laugh, huh? You want a hit?
I fell in love with Jeff because I saw the tenderness in his heart, and I could be myself with him. Jeff smoked pot, but he didn't drink much until we began dating. My own drinking increased, too. In May, just before graduation, he took me to a free pregnancy clinic for a test that came back positive.
I'm really glad you don't want to get an abortion.
Oh, no way. But what am I going to do?
Well, it's not the end of the world, Robin. Babies happen.
Oh, not in my family. My folks will kill me, especially after all the grief I've given them.
Well, you might be surprised.
Are you kidding? They grounded me for cutting class. They're planning this big graduation party for me, so I don't dare tell them now.
At least you finished school.
But I feel so ashamed. I just know they'll kick me out of the house for getting pregnant.
Why don't we get married?
You don't have to ask me that.
I want to.
No, not like this.
My parents took care of me without condemnation during my pregnancy. I was scared and drank a lot. Jeff proposed a second time, and I refused again. Then he enlisted in the Army. Just before he left for basic training in October, he proposed again, and I accepted. We were married 3 days after Christmas, but none of our family attended. Jeff went back to training, and our son was born 3 weeks later.
Hello?
Robin?
Yes, Jeff. We have a boy.
Wait, I tell the guys. Did you name him Justin?
Yes, he's so cute, Jeff, just like you. Mom and Dad and my sister were all here.
Oh, I wish I could have been there.
I had your picture right beside me on the table. I was really proud that I could say, that's my husband.
I love you, Robin.
I love you, too. I'm so glad Mom encouraged us to marry before the baby was born.
When the baby was 2 months old, Jeff took us with him to Fort Riley, Kansas, where we lived in a little trailer. We settled right into the party life, drinking and using drugs all weekend with strangers, while our precious baby slept in the next room. I even tried acid. Since we lived 30 miles out, many people just stayed at our place overnight. I was proud of being able to outdrink anyone. I wanted to be a good wife and mother, but alcohol controlled me.
Oh, man, Robin. Take it easy with the noise. My head hurts.
I have to clear a place so I can feed Justin.
What time did I pass out?
1 o'clock, I think. I stayed up till 4.
You're lucky. He's such a good baby.
He sleeps almost as well as your buddies in there.
Oh, that's different. They're drunk.
We're going to have to get a bigger place, Jeff.
Yeah, it is a bit crowded on weekends.
It's going to get worse. I'm pregnant again.
You are? Fantastic. Do you feel okay?
Fine. Hey, let's get some beer to celebrate. The wild parties continued. We always paid our bills and bought groceries before we bought our vices, but we partied every weekend. Jeff applied for on-base housing, and we moved into the apartment 2 months before the baby was due. We borrowed a cot to sleep on because we had no furniture, no phone, but the place was furnished with roaches. Our little Ashley was born May 1st, and we went home the next day. 2 days later, she had a fever, and Jeff took her to the doctor. When he returned, he gave me the bad news.
Robin!
Where's Ashley?
I had to leave her at the hospital so they could run some tests.
Oh, no, Jeff!
No, don't worry, honey. The jaundice is almost gone.
But why the fever?
They don't know. They did a spinal tap while I was there.
A spinal tap? Oh, Jeff, it must be serious! I need to be with her, Jeff. She needs me.
But easy, honey. I'll see if a neighbor can watch Justin, and I'll take you to the hospital.
Ashley has spinal meningitis, Mrs. Melvin. We're not sure if the meningitis is bacterial or viral, so we're putting her on antibiotics for 8 days.
When can she come home, Doctor?
I don't know yet.
Will she be all right?
Well, there could be some side effects. The worst being that she could suffer some hearing loss.
I can't even hold her.
Well, I'm afraid not. But you can visit her as much as you'd like.
Oh, she looks so sweet lying there sleeping. Is she in pain?
She'd be crying if she were. Don't worry, Mrs. Melvin. We'll take good care of her.
Every night I went to the hospital and watched her sleep. She never cried. My sister made plans to come and help me take care of Justin so I could spend more time with Ashley. We still didn't have a phone, so we gave the hospital our neighbor's number. One night we got a call that Ashley was in code blue, fighting for her life.
And we'll hear more about that crisis in just a moment. Unshackled has been broadcasting these exciting true testimonies of God's love and grace since 1950. And you can order any of these stories to listen to on cassette if you have our Ministry Resources catalog, which lists every testimony we've produced, alphabetized by name. Many testimonies have also been reproduced on CD. And you can also order our Unshackled comic books, story booklets, and paperback books, which have condensed versions of these true testimonies. The Resources catalog also lists the subject matter of most of these testimonies, so you can order stories that deal with a particular issue, such as drugs, suicide, or the occult, or whatever is of concern to you or someone you know. There's no charge for the Ministry Resource Catalog, so write today and get your free copy. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org, and please include your address.
We rushed to the hospital where Ashley lay in ICU surrounded by tubes and monitors. She seemed so peaceful, so Jeff left to pick up my sister at the train in Topeka. An army chaplain was with me by then, but the nurse asked us to leave while they drew blood. When I checked on Ashley again, she wasn't crying, but her little arms and legs were flailing and her eyes were wild.
Look at those monitors. What's wrong with her?
We're trying to find out, Mrs. Melvin.
No, you never should have drawn blood from her. She's too little.
Why don't you wait outside?
She needs me.
Let's wait outside so they can do their work.
Chaplain, she has to be okay.
I'm sure the doctors are doing all they can. Sit down here and let me pray with you.
Oh, God, I want my baby. Please.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Mrs. Melvin, I am so sorry we lost her.
I held my little daughter, now peaceful and wrapped in a blanket, as if she was asleep. I never doubted that she was with God. But how could I tell Jeff and my sister that Ashley was dead? The next week was a grief-stricken daze. Jeff put in for emergency leave, and we went back to Illinois for the funeral. My family took care of everything for us. After we returned to Kansas, getting high was all that seemed to ease the pain.
Maybe you should put away the bassinet, honey.
Not yet. Somehow it keeps her here with me.
Now give me that fly swatter.
Those roaches. Maybe that's what made her sick.
They said it was a rare cold virus.
I don't believe them. I hate that hospital. I hate this apartment, too.
Look, I'm going to put in for compassionate reassignment, Robin. We'll get away from here.
Jeff was reassigned to a post in Illinois, and our heavy drinking continued. I was isolated and lonely. One night a friend came by, and we drank all night while Jeff slept. When Jeff began to dress for work, I freaked out.
What do you mean, stay home? I can't stay home, Robin. I have to go to work.
Don't leave me, honey. Please, I don't want to be alone.
Go to bed and sleep
no,
it off.
No, don't leave me.
Hey, look what you did to my shirt. You tore it.
No,
now I got to change.
I don't want you to go, Jeff. You can spend the day with me, can't you? Please, don't go.
Look, get real, Robin. I can't stay home. Are you nuts? We're tearing my clothes off? What do you want, anyway? Acid?
I can't stand being alone. You can't leave me. You can't.
Calm down before I put you in a cold shower. You're just drunk.
A year later, Jeff got out of the Army, and we moved back to our hometown where Jeff's drinking got worse. He spent more and more time with his buddies after work, even though I was pregnant again. Our second son was born by C-section. And we were so proud and happy, in spite of a $10,000 hospital bill. Jeffrey enlisted in the Army and then lost his job. So we went on welfare and food stamps while we waited for his assignment.
So where'd you get the coffee?
My parents brought over some groceries. They're so much happier since Dad quit drinking.
I hate living on handouts. I'll be glad to get back in the Army.
Why don't I get a job, honey?
Who'd take care of the kids?
Well, you could, since you're not working.
I don't want to do that. Besides, if I can't get a job, how can you?
I can work at the bar on the corner. I already checked. The tips are good.
No.
We need the money, Jeff. We're behind on that hospital bill.
Well, maybe they'll give us a grant now that we're poor.
Maybe. I reapplied. Meanwhile, I'm going to work at the bar. The day the hospital approved our grant, covering the entire bill, I cried and cried, thanking God for helping us. But my job at the bar led to fights between Jeff and me. I would stay after hours and drink with the boss. In April, Jeff reported to Fort Ord, California. I stayed behind to get ready for the move. A week before Jeff returned to get us, I went out drinking with a friend while Mom watched our sons. I got so drunk, I wrecked the car and ended up in jail. Mom came and got me.
Oh, Robin, this is awful.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Well, give them your license and we can leave. I posted bond.
It's so humiliating.
What happened?
I guess I blacked out.
Well, you could have been killed.
I know. Oh, Jeff is going to be furious. We needed that car to get to California.
But where is it?
In a ravine somewhere in the country.
Well, I'm really worried about you, Robin.
lost my license for 3 months and paid a $700 fine, but I went right back to a wild lifestyle in California. We added crack cocaine to our list of addictions. A year and a half later, Jeff was sent to Korea, so the boys and I returned to Illinois. I tried a rehab program because the things I did under the influence of alcohol were eating me alive with guilt and shame. Jeff came home in the fall, and the Army moved us to Arkansas, where a real estate agent tried to help us find a home.
Well, there aren't very many rentals in this town.
There aren't any. We've looked everywhere.
We really appreciate your taking the time to help us. No one else would.
Well, if nothing else worked, we'll check with someone who's selling and see if they'd be willing to rent instead.
I just can't believe this.
No, don't you worry. The Lord will open the door somewhere.
Soon, I hope. Justin needs to be in school.
I guess we could always rent a tent.
Yeah. As soon as we get you settled in the house, you folks will have to visit our church. I'll be glad to pick you up.
He found us a house and kept inviting us to church, but we didn't go. Something strange was happening to me, though. I began to feel guilty every time I drank. I didn't want to keep getting drunk because it was a bad model for our children, but I didn't know what to do about it. New Year's Eve came, and our realtor friend invited us to a party at his church. We went and enjoyed it so much, we attended the service on Sunday, where the pastor was preaching a series of messages on the Ten Commandments.
Now, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me."
That's right.
That is the first of the Ten Commandments, and if we obeyed that one, the rest would follow.
Yeah, surely would.
We are to love the Lord God with all our heart and with all our soul, and we put other things in place of Him, alcohol and drugs and sex and money, anything and everything.
That's right. That's right.
Even ourselves.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
And then we wonder why we feel so empty. Now, you listen to me. God loves you. And if you knew how much He loves you, how awesome He is, you wouldn't put anything ahead of Him. Now, the greatest demonstration of His love is seen in the sacrifice of His only Son on the cross for our sins. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us."
Amen.
The next day, the pastor came to visit us. Jeff put his beer and cigarettes in the kitchen, but I kept right on drinking, smoking, and cussing.
I'm really glad you folks came to visit us yesterday.
The people sure were friendly, I'll say that.
Last year, some people came to our apartment in California and invited us to church. They said we were going to hell, so I slammed the door in their face.
Well, they weren't trying to offend you, ma'am. Just a little overzealous.
I know I'm a sinner. I don't have to have someone rub my nose in it.
I used to be a rowdy drinker back when I was a boilermaker.
You?
Yes, Robin. Jesus died to set me free, and I can't thank Him enough.
How did you change?
I surrendered my life to God, and He changed me. He really does give you a new heart when you're born again.
His words gave me hope, and because He didn't condemn us, we went back to His church. The teachings began to convict me. Jeff wasn't there 3 Sundays later when the pastor preached on the third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain." I went forward that day, a desperate sinner, whose only hope was Christ.
Robin, are you ready to repent for your sins against God and receive Jesus as your Savior?
Yes, I am.
Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes.
Do you believe He died on the cross for your sins?
Yes.
Well, let's pray now and ask God to save you.
I can't describe the feeling of relief and peace I felt that day. I was free, forgiven, no longer a captive of my past. The first thing God changed was my language. When I would slip and swear, I would quickly apologize. "I'm sorry, Lord, please forgive me."
You're funny, Robin. Apologizing to God.
But it offends Him, Jeff. He hears everything, you know, even our thoughts.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Hey, what happened to all the alcohol?
I poured it out.
All of it? Well, why didn't you give it to our friends?
Al
alcohol caused so much misery in my life, why would I do that to them?
Well, don't bother my marijuana, okay?
A few months later, Jeff surrendered his life to Christ too, and we began to grow in faith as our pastor taught us to follow biblical teachings. We'd been saved about 2 years and were living in Alaska when we began listening to Unshackled. The stories helped us to be open and honest with each other. We both confessed our unfaithfulness to each other prior to our salvation. God helped us to forgive each other and to grow in our relationship. His word has healed the scars made by those sinful years. Jeff and I were saved in 1990, and God blessed us with a second daughter, Hannah, in 1994. Today we try to serve the Lord in the local church, in our family, and with our lives. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind.
Robin has learned the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And friend, that new life in Christ is for you too. Nothing is too hard for God, not your problems, not your heart. He takes away the guilt of yesterday and gives you the power and grace to live each day. When you invite Him into your heart and life, He promises to make you whiter than snow. Can anyone else make a promise like that? Give God the chance to prove His word. Ask Him into your life right now. If you need help in this life-changing decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312-922-1462. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Encourage others by telling them about this broadcast and how to listen. Let the manager of this station know that you ask others to hear these true testimonies. And we'd like to hear from you, too. Just a note to say that you're a friend of Unshackled. This is program number 2566. Heard in the true story of Robin Melvin were Lisa Keefe, Tom Geitsch, Mercita DeMunk, John Green, and Doug Dudley. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script by Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Right today, we do look forward to hearing from you. The address is simply Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. A letter from you is always welcome. Remember the address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Need counsel and prayer? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.